Monday, April 4th, 2016. Ms. Bastianini, will you call the roll, please?
Mr. Bray.
Here.
Dr. Wallace.
Here.
Mr. Wainwright.
Here.
Mr. Wilson.
Here.
Dr. Petrola.
Here.
Mr. Fuller.
Here.
Ms. Schaefer.
Here, and let the record reflect that the mayor and the solicitor are also in attendance. If you would all please stand with me to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. There are two announcements that I want to make. One is after the item, after the authorization to pay bills in the committee action, we're going to move up the MS4 training done by our engineer Jason Stanton before the business meeting. The volunteer fire department has to be a part of that as well. So, Mr. Stanton then can end his work day. And we will be having an executive session following the new business. There will not be any vote on the executive session report, which is on potential litigation. So with that, Mayor Cook.
Thank you, Madam President. Very unusual to have so many people in attendance, and also that I should happen to have three proclamations today. So I'll start with our first one. The Borough of Edgewood, Proclamation 2016-01. Whereas libraries have long served as trusted and treasured institutions, and library workers and librarians fuel efforts to better their communities, and whereas C.C. Miller Memorial Library and Edgewood Community House is a historic center for bringing together communities to enrich themselves and each other and to address local issues. And whereas libraries are evolving in order to serve their communities with state-of-the-art technologies and to continue to fulfill their role in leveling the playing field for all who seek information and access to technologies. And whereas libraries and librarians open up a world of possibilities through innovation, STEM programming, job-seeking resources, and power of reading, and whereas libraries offer educational programs to meet community needs, providing residents with resume writing classes, 24/7 homework help, and financial planning services to teens applying for student loans to older adults planning their retirement, and whereas libraries and librarians bring people together for celebration, entertainment, and enlightenment, and whereas libraries and librarians are providing opportunities for community engagement and deliver new services that connect closely with patrons' needs, and whereas libraries support democracy and effect social change by providing equitable access to information for all library users, regardless of race, ethnicity, creed, ability, sexual orientation, gender identity, and social and economic status, and whereas libraries and librarians and library workers, friends of the library, and supporters across America are celebrating National Library Week, now therefore be it resolved that the Mayor of the Borough of Edgewood proclaims National Library Week, April 10th through the 16th, 2016. I encourage all residents to visit our library to explore what's new and engage with your librarians. Proclaimed at the meeting of the Council of the Borough of Edgewood, the fourth day of April. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, I am honored to recognize an individual who has volunteered a lot of his time and services to keep Edgewood being the community that it is. So,
Mayor Cook?
Yes.
I think that the two people in which you are going to honor with a day are here. If you'd like to stand up
Yes. Bob Grepp and Susan Landis, you both would. I'll read Bob's proclamation first, and then I'll read Susan Landis' proclamation after that. Borough of Edgewood Proclamation 2016-02, whereas the Edgewood Borough Council has a commitment to provide and promote good governance to the residents of the borough, and whereas Robert Grubb began his service to Edgewood Borough in 1991 as a member of the Zoning Hearing Board and faithfully served in that capacity for 5 years, and whereas Bob Grubb also served for 20 years as a member of the Planning Commission, during which time the commission oversaw the development and redevelopment of commercial and residential properties, as well as changes to the borough's zoning ordinance. Now, therefore, on this, the fourth day of April 2016, the Office of the Mayor of the Borough of Edgewood, in partnership with Borough Council, recognizes and thanks Bob Grubb for his 25 years of dedicated, loyal, and positive service to the borough and its residents, and proclaims April 5th, 2016 as Bob Grubb Day in the Borough of Edgewood, proclaimed at the meeting of the Borough Council of Edgewood this fourth day of April 2016. Now, it also gives me pleasure, having actually worked with both Bob Grubb on the Planning Commission and the like. I have also been on the Garden Club with Susan Lammy, and it's an honor once again to recognize her for her years of service. Borough of Edgewood, Proclamation 2016-03. Whereas the Borough of Edgewood recognizes exceptional service and acknowledges commitment to community, and whereas Susan Lammy has volunteered her services, time, and expertise to the Borough of Edgewood as a member of the Appeals Board for the past 11 years, and whereas Susan Lammy was an instrumental member of the Edgewood Garden Club, supporter of the C.C. Millard Library, maintained the rain garden at the Edgewood train station, and was involved with the reading group at the Edgewood Elementary School. Now, therefore, the Office of the Mayor of the Borough of Edgewood, in partnership with Borough Council, recognizes and thanks Susan Lammy for her years of dedicated and loyal and positive service to the borough and its residents, and proclaims April 6, 2016 as Susan Lammy Day in the Borough of Edgewood, proclaimed this fourth day of April 2016 by the Mayor of the Borough of Edgewood. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Bob and Susan, very much for all that you've done. It's been an honor and a pleasure to work with you. You will be missed going to the city.
We'll have your names on the reader board on your day, so be sure to come by and take a look.
Take a picture suitable for framing. And now, Mayor Cook, you have some officers that you're going to swear in for us.
Yes, thank you, Madam President. We have the Public Safety Committee has interviewed and had discussions with the chief, and we have two candidates that we'd like to swear in today. So, David, please come forward.
Come through the golden gates here.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
I will support,
obey, and defend.
Obey and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
And the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
And that I will discharge.
And I will discharge.
The duties of police officer.
The duties of police officer.
For the borough of Edgewood.
For the borough of Edgewood.
With fidelity.
With fidelity.
Welcome to the borough of Edgewood, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right, at this time, we will entertain items from the floor. If you would please sign in with your name and address, and you have 5 minutes to address council. Come forward.
My name is Daniel Burston. I live at 261 Maple Avenue, and I've been living there for 3 years, and in the course of 3 years, drunk drivers have hit my vehicle 3 times. On the most recent occasion, my car was totaled, and I've had to replace it with a brand new vehicle. And when I recently sent out a petition, the outlines of a possible petition for speed bumps to be placed on Maple Avenue, I got a very lively response. Justin Petrola was a participant on that listserv, or on that email thread. And several others who participated are here tonight as well. I would just like to ask the council to consider convening a special meeting with the residents of Maple to discuss various ways in which we can enhance the safety and decrease the, if not the volume, at least the speed of traffic. I know you can't eliminate drunk drivers, but there are others.
I wish we could.
No, there are, but there are other problems. Okay, the 3 times my car was hit, it was a drunk driver and it was late at night. But there are people who speed in broad daylight down the street, and there's lots of young children on this street. So, if council could provide a special opportunity to discuss this issue more fully, I would be deeply appreciative.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, Madam President, members of the council. I'm Jim Sismore, Secretary of the Board for the Edgewood Foundation. Just wanted to take a minute to provide an update on upcoming activities in the borough. Most notably is a new program that we're attempting in collaboration with the library. So timely on our part, I must say. But a teen coffee house. Which actually started last month, and we will continue it on the second Friday, both of April and of May. And at our board retreat in January, the idea was brought up that we do a lot of things that primarily are adult involvement, and wanted to think of some things that might involve the youth of the borough. And a good brainstorming session came up, and we thought, kids like to drink coffee, hang out, with Wi-Fi access and have some snacks. We thought, why don't we try and do that here? I know the Carnegie Library, the main branch in Oakland, does this now and to great success. And Sally Bogie, the librarian, was really happy to partner with us. And the initial evening was a nice evening, a fair turnout. Only about half of the kids there were forced by their parents to attend. So we've encouraged all of the kids in the borough through the various channels of the library to come in. And it's just a great evening to hang out with friends. And there's no other program other than enjoying themselves. But it just gives them an opportunity to take advantage of the resource of the library. And hopefully it would be one of those things they look back on fondly in the borough. And perhaps one of the reasons they move back once they come back from wherever the path takes them. So that'll be coming up again on the second Friday of April, second Friday of May. Our annual Clean Up the Borough on Earth Day, taking advantage of the occasion of Earth Day, will be Saturday, April 23rd from 9 until noon. Yours truly, and John will probably be the first customer that morning. I'll be down at Koenig Field. We have we provide all of your supplies, so a safety vest, gloves, bags, snacks to get you going, and we simply ask that you go out to some part of the borough, whether it's your street or some other area that you're fond of, and clean it up. And we have had a nice turnout last year, and we encourage everyone again this year. So again, that's Saturday the 23rd. Coming up in May, just a couple of events. The annual newcomers reception, or the occasional newcomers reception, will be on Thursday, March 12th. And it's Marcel Bruchet's house. Mr. Bruchet is here. And I'm mispronouncing that. May 12th. Thank you very much. You can go online and find more details about that. Al Caruso helps to organize that event. Thursday, May 12th. And finally, the annual senior brunch, will be on Sunday, May 22nd. And we think we have a complete list of all the graduating seniors from the various schools. But if you know of anyone who's graduating and want to ensure that they're on our mailing list, invitation list, again, we just direct them to the foundation website. And that's all I have.
Thank you very much. For those of you who are here with us this evening, once again, we want to welcome you. It's wonderful to see residents here. You've heard the report of the foundation. I would encourage you to participate in Edgewood Cleanup Day. I know, having done it a number of times, once you pick a place and you start cleaning up the litter, you take ownership of that place. It is really a wonderful experience to get out there. The senior brunch is also something that, if any of you know young people who are homeschooled who are graduating, not only from the Woodland Hills or the private schools, but homeschooled, please let the foundation know so that they can contact them and get their name on the list for the senior brunch, which is really a wonderful tradition of Edgewood. So I hope that you will support that as well. And we look forward to the newcomers meeting. It's wonderful to see the turnover of real estate happen rather quickly for most, that there are couples who get to know their neighborhood and their neighbors and the services that are here, the foundation, the library, garden club, council as well. Volunteer Fire Department gives a talk. So I hope that you all consider if there's someone that's moved in the past year, if you would let them know about the newcomer meeting as well. I know that the foundation tries to reach everybody, but sometimes folks are missed. So, all right, next. Yes, ma'am.
Hi. My name is Valerie Nisi. I'm probably one of those newcomers here. I don't know if I'm the newest, but I'm new. We live at 105 Hawthorne Street. And I'd just like to bring two things to council's attention, just to echo this gentleman's concern about Maple Avenue. We have all, just being new, I think the problem exists on Hawthorne Street too. We have often had to stop sharply because cars making a left from Maple on, or a right onto Hawthorne actually speed up. And by the time we check and get into our driveway, especially when cars are parked parallel on the street, it could be disastrous for us too. And being in my front yard often, I also see speeders coming down the hill. I have witnessed children playing going down to the elementary school and in the lot next to us. So it is a concern, and I just would say whatever your resolve is to take that street into consideration also. The second item that I'd like to bring to your attention is that I've been attending Woodland Hills School District meetings recently for personal reasons. We're actually trying to purchase the lot next to us so that we could build onto our home. And one of the issues within the school board that I feel is a problem on Maple Avenue is that they are having in different areas within the school district buses parking in areas that are disturbing traffic. Now, going down Maple, I know the children have to be let off the buses and retrieved from the buses. But often the bus drivers, because they are contract bus service, have their own system, and when they go from one location to the next, they have some downtime in that time period. And I've noticed buses sitting there with no children on the buses. And there are other places that if that's the situation, perhaps you need to talk with the school district. Perhaps they can line up on Hawthorne Street on the hillside behind the deaf school fields, and then they're dispatched down when kids need to be loaded onto the buses or even let off, because I've noticed that there's no way two-way traffic can pass when those buses are lined up in front of the elementary school. You know, so if, and there's a police officer there, and people get frustrated. They're trying to get to work on time. They're trying to get their children to the daycare up the road, etc. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention, because that is a problem that they've been talking about that they're having all over. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good evening. I'm Jeff McCarroll. I live at 243 Maple, right next to the school. And both of these comments strike with me. Having a driveway next to the school and a very clear yellow line that stretches all the way down my house and partially down to the crosswalk, the buses ignore it completely and park. They park my driveway in. We can't get in. We can't get out. I've spoken to the district. I've spoken to the principal. I've spoken to the chief here. And nobody wants to take responsibility for making the buses stay out of my driveway. I've put up a no parking sign. I've spray painted no parking on the ground, and the frustration level is getting pretty high with that and the continual speeding that's happening up and down in Maple. It's, you know, the email chain, there were all sorts of solutions. There's a really easy solution, and we just hired two new officers. Start writing tickets. There's two white lines in front of my house. That officer, chief, and whoever else sit down there every morning. I've never seen them write a ticket. I've seen them slow people down and warn them. I've never seen them write a ticket. I've been there for 5 years. I've never seen anyone pulled over on Maple and actually had a ticket written. I would. You know, they don't now. I mean, the race street's the same way. I mean, all the streets around here, it's a simple solution. Write some tickets. I mean, the lines are there for a reason, right?
Thank you.
Marion Coral, and my husband and I live at 3 McKelvey Avenue. And this is kind of a segue from, I'd like to see some tickets written at the corner of Edgewood and Ray Street, because we come down Maple often and make the right. And people who were supposed to let us go coming from Wilkinsburg don't stop. Sometimes multiple cars don't stop, and then they're angry with us. And I think the signage could be better, too, because I think a lot of people don't understand that oncoming traffic includes traffic coming up the hill. So I don't know. I suspect people have complained about this before.
Not recently, that particular complaint.
Okay, but again, you know.
But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, if people were started getting tickets, they would pay more attention. Maybe if the signage were clearer, that could help the problem as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Madam President, members of council, and my colleague, Mr. Berry. It's nice to see you. My name is Virginia Cook, and I have maintained my law office here in the borough at 103 Maple Avenue since March 1st, 1990. I have never had occasion to have to come and address council before, so I'm coming for the first time in 26 years. I, too, am very concerned about the traffic situation on Maple Avenue and the parking situation. I have never had a problem with clients coming to my office, being able to park, being able to come in and keep their appointments until September, when the situation at the school changed. And although I'm not immediately familiar with all the changes, it appears to me that many, many more people are coming to the school every day. Additionally, on Edgewood Avenue, the yellow line has been drawn down a large portion of both sides of Edgewood Avenue. Many of my clients used to park there. I used to park there. Now, if I arrive at my office at 9 o'clock in the morning or 8:30, there are no parking spaces anywhere to park, and my clients, who normally start coming about 10 o'clock for a first appointment in my office, have nowhere to park, and they've been complaining. In addition, I think the traffic situation on Maple Avenue is very serious. I'm very concerned that a child is going to be seriously injured because there is just not enough room for buses to be stationed in front of the school for a long period of time and two lanes of traffic to be going up and down the street at the same time. Additionally, people park everywhere. They don't obey the signs. And I am asking the mayor, particularly, to enforce the yellow line in front of the building I'm in on Maple Avenue, where the fire hydrant is. Since the Lamy Grubbs have sold their building, that building has many more people coming to it. People just park indiscriminately on the yellow line in front of the fire hydrant. I do not want to be in a fire when the trucks can't get to the fire hydrant. So that's really a serious issue. And I don't know, I would like to know a couple of things. What paper do you put notices of ordinances in? Because I didn't see any ordinance about the parking on Edgewood Avenue. And quite frankly, Mr. Berry, I think the sign that's up there now is unconstitutional. It says no parking during these hours except for people who are going to the church. And although the Edgewood Presbyterian Church has been a very good neighbor of mine for 26 years, I have many clients and friends who belong to it, if there's going to be an exception for parking for the church, I'd like there to be an exception for my law office so I can do my business. So I don't know who designed that sign, but when I read it, I became upset. The other final thing, because I don't want to take up all the time here, I'm also going to ask the mayor if there can be some more policing of areas around the school. There have been two incidents in parking lots across the street from my office of people copulating in cars. Now, I don't know where that comes to under the criminal code, but we have children on the street. I'm really not happy with mobile prostitution facilities in the area, so I would like some stepped up surveillance. I'd like more traffic tickets around yellow lines, and I'd like to know what can be done, if anything, about the parking on Edgewood Avenue. I understand it was a kerfuffle about the buses parking for the school for the deaf. Well, I didn't know that was a kerfuffle. I never had any problem getting around the buses parked there before school. So I don't know exactly what the problem is. I consider the problem so serious that I've had two offers from lawyers to move my office downtown. And I'm thinking about doing it after 26 years in this municipality. So the matter is serious. My main concern is I do not want to see a child injured. This man that talked about his car being wrecked, my legal secretary's car was wrecked once, somebody driving down Maple Avenue. And for a long time, when Dr. Horn was in the building, the parking right in front of my building turned over every 2 hours because he had a lot of patients coming. And so there was availability of parking. Now, if you don't get here before 8:30, there's no parking anywhere. So I could go downtown and have a lot of parking, as could my clients. Thank you very much for your attention.
Tom Donahoe, I live at 224 Maple Avenue. I have no constitutional challenges, although I like that. Nor anything that salacious, though the night is young. And first and foremost, you guys work really hard. This is my first council meeting, long-time listener, first-time caller. Everyone's lives are really busy. It is not my station or desire to take sniper shots at anyone's job. You guys care about this community. There's a lot of other streets other than Maple Avenue. Disparate concerns. So I genuinely appreciate what you guys do. You care. But I am compelled to come here because when I am on a conversation with my neighbors or I'm on an email thread, and there are so many angles that have such a, I'll try to be a little delicate, such a lack of perceived common sense. It is not my job to take sniper shots at your decisions. You got a tough one, you got other lives. But there are two big points to this. Again, I'm a Maple Ave resident. My company deals with data every day. All my employees are comp sci majors from some CNU to Duquesne. I love data more than most things. The thirst for data cannot be an excuse or a replacement for common sense. It can't be. You can't see a problem, and I don't think anybody in this room, does anybody in this room think that there is not a definitive problem with the traffic on Maple? No one. No one thinks there's not a problem. So there is a problem. And the thirst for data, which although justifiable at times and for other scenarios, it can't be a replacement for common sense. So when I'm on an email thread, and that there is a, and that's not kicking the can down the road, it is nothing as a pejorative or unprofessional as that, but you can't replace making a common sense decision just by saying the white flag of we need more data. You don't need more data. There's a problem. We can fix it. It's not rocket surgery. So I would urge you that there are other, the traffic robot or whatever it is. I'm sure that can be applied for other uses and other concerns. That's fine. That's valid. A, and then my second point is, it's not a solution to the speeding. If you honestly think a drunk driver is going to be slowed down by a number on a sign, do you need data for that? You don't. So while it can be valuable for other measures, data is a good thing for other streets and other concerns, and that $4,000 or $5,000, whatever it was, is probably well spent because you are smart people, and I'm sure it has multiple uses across the borough. It is not a replication for common sense decisions. There's a problem in Maple Avenue. My goodness, let's start to fix it. And I beseech you to stop talking about it. And again, I'm not here to tell you what to do, but I'm begging you, let's not just keep kicking the can down the road conversation because we need more data. We don't need more data. And a sign will not do anything for the problem. And I'm here about safety. I mean, that was a copulation in the street and constitutional challenges aside. I got a 3 and a 1-year-old. We got a bunch of kids are here. Did you see how far that car drove into my neighbor's yard at 11:30? You know how fast they must have been going? How many accidents he's had in his front yard, stones over where my kids walk? If you guys don't do something about this soon, I mean, look, it's on all of our shoulders. We live here, too. If you need any help, let me know. But please, dear God, don't tell me you need more data. Because that's kind of insulting. But I appreciate your effort and time. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Hi, I'm Deborah Desjardins. My husband, Mike Gunzenhauser, and I live at 265 Maple Avenue. And I just also want to support some of the comments being made about the situation on Maple Avenue. We live on the corner of Maple and Hawthorne. We've been there for 11 years. I have young kids. We're outside all the time. I rarely see people make a full stop at the stop sign. I'm not sure I've ever seen someone pulled over for that. People speed. You know, I don't have anything new to say. I just wanted to add my supportive comments. So thank you for your consideration.
Anyone else? Okay. You are correct in that the traffic has increased throughout Edgewood. And there have been a number of residents on various streets with the complaint of speeding. And we've heard it. We take it seriously. We don't want anyone to be hurt. We don't want any public property to be destroyed. We want to keep Edgewood a livable, walkable community. We all live here. We live on your streets. We pay the taxes. So, but there are things that we have to do with respect to government and to governing that that calls us to do the right thing the right way for the right reasons. And that has been the mantra, if you will, for this council for a number of years. Because we want to do it right, we want to do it the right way, and we want to do it for the right reasons. And one of the ways that we want to, one of the ways that council is going to respond to all of these concerns, and this isn't going to make you happy, but one of the ways that we're going to respond is we want to develop a process so that we can handle these complaints and have a solution that is the proper solution for the problem. One of the ways of that is gathering data. And it's not kicking the can down the road, but we have to have the data in order to discern where exactly the problems are, what time they are, and so that we can use our police department efficiently. You'll see, and I see you're smiling, but we do have on the agenda a radar display. One of the problems that we have is in the state of Pennsylvania, local law enforcement cannot use radar. There is a law now coming before the legislature removing that restriction for Pennsylvania. I think we're the only state, that doesn't allow local police officers to use radar. Our streets are, in order to time people with a stopwatch, you have to have between the two lines, and you have to have police officers there. So one of the ways that we can collect data is, and it's on the agenda, is we had our police chief and borough manager contact other municipalities that had similar problems. Mount Lebanon, Cranberry, and looked at the equipment that they use to collect the information. Part of the positive aspect of this is that this particular display not only flashes you're going, you know, X number of miles per hour, and if any of you have taken the police academy here, and I recommend that you do, you sign up for it because you learn a lot. And what I've learned from the chief is a lot of policing is changing people's behavior, and that's what we want to do. And sometimes people think that speed bumps are the panacea of changing people's behavior. I wish we could get people not to drink and drive. I wish that we could prevent people from tearing through our neighborhood when they steal a car. Speed bumps are one of the ways to do that, but we want to make sure that we're doing things that are going to be efficient and effective for the long haul. What this particular equipment will do is it counts cars going both directions. It monitors the speed of the cars going the directions. It also works 24/7. So, and if it's set, I believe this is the one that, as it's, it can be set at a certain speed that if a car goes over that speed, it will take a picture of the car. Now, we can't write a ticket based on that, but we can find out if there's repeat offenders. The people who routinely, every day, cut through Maple Avenue to get wherever they need to go, Shadyside or Squirrel Hill or whatever, and people are creatures of habit. And not everyone speeds through Maple. It's not 24 hours of the day, but there, I can probably bet that there are people who continue to do it day after day after day. And if we know what time and who they are, we can then use our police department efficiently by having them there waiting at that particular time, monitoring the speed, and if they don't stop at the stop sign, they can get their ticket. But you can't have, we can't have a police officer, we don't have, just 1 minute, we don't have the staffing to have a police officer on Maple Avenue 24/7 or Greendale 24/7 or Lloyd 24/7. So that's where this equipment can help us be able to use our police department more efficiently and effectively. And that's what we want to do. Just 1 minute. So we went through, we got some historical data on the police reports from Maple Avenue, and the majority of the reports are people's mirrors getting whacked off towards the end of Maple Avenue where it's narrow, the 200 block, where it's narrow. I'm not sure that speed is the issue as much as the space within that block. So we will be working with our public safety departments, the police, the volunteer fire department, DPW, and looking at what might be able to happen there. So we're looking at historical data. We're looking at the current data available for us so that the police can initiate traffic stops for not obeying stop signs or reckless driving. They can give warnings for excessive speed. The limitations for us currently are the number of police officers that we have per shift and the limits that the state puts upon us with respect to being able to write tickets using radar. And the length of the street to be able to measure from one area to another in timing. So that's what we're hoping that this equipment will help us with. But that's just one part of what we're going to do. We also then have to look at this information that we have here. And we're turning these complaints over to our public safety committee. And they are working with our police department, our volunteer firefighters, our crossing guards, talking with residents, hearing the complaints of specific, you know, reports of time, place, whatever. Once again, I wish that we could stop people from drunk driving. We can't. I wish that we could, you know, stop criminals. We can't. However, we can help change people's behavior, and we can do that in the most efficient, effective way, okay? So we're going to work with public safety with that. When we get the data and we see time and speed, then we will work on what are the best ways within recommendations from PennDOT and a traffic study. What are the best ways, what mechanisms can be used that will be able to be the best solution for the problem? And once again, as I said, everybody assumes right away a speed bump's going to do it. It may not do it. And so I just want to, you know, assure you that we want to make sure that we're doing things in an informed, systematic way that will be used borough-wide. For Greendale, the residents of Greendale who are just as concerned about cars coming off of South Braddock or the Parkway and speeding around and up race whenever there's soccer games or baseball games or movie night, you know, they have those concerns too. And that's where this investment is a good thing because it's portable, and we can have it a week or two on one street and then go to another street and then go to Lloyd Avenue and we can go to Dewey or wherever. So this is an investment that is gives us, if you will, the most bang for our buck, and that will be usable for all of Edgewood Borough so that we, you know, we can get the information we need for the whole borough. So we will then, and I kind of put this together kind of bones, you know, as I was thinking through, we will be having a committee of the whole meeting where council will, you know, go over the PennDOT regulations and also some of the calming devices and things that can be used. We're going to get our own education, which I think is important. As local government, we need to know what we can and can't do and what's appropriate to do based on our size and a residential area. We don't know it all, but we're trainable, okay? So it's important for us to be able to govern in the right way so that when tickets are written, they're defensible. It does no good to send officers out to write tickets that won't hold up in court. Now, yellow line parking, you know, okay. Running a stop sign, okay. You know, those are things that the mayor has heard and the chief of police have heard, public safety has heard, and, you know, and those are things that we can improve upon. The speed, we need to gather that data. Signage is also regulated. So if the signage isn't, you know, if there's a concern about signage, you know, we'll do an evaluation of the signage and act accordingly. You know, let's see. The next thing, I guess, is communication. And that really is the most important part. I'm glad that you're all here. And I don't take any of the comments, and I've not read the emails. I've had the gist. I think it's important that you know that this is the place to come to you know, share your concerns, to lodge your complaints, and to know that you're being heard. We also want to assure you that we do have a care for borough liability in all aspects of what we do. And we take that very seriously because, you know, any time that we're taken to court is your tax dollars spent in ways that we'd rather do it, you know, efficiently and use money to help the borough, not pay for more attorney's fees. Sorry there, Mr. Barry. So we're going to educate ourselves, and we're also going to work on better communicating where we are in the process on the streets where the particular complaints are. We will work with our borough manager. We're going to work with Mr. Mayor. We're going to work with the police department, the volunteer firefighters, our DPW workers who are out and about. You know, they're the eyes and the ears of the borough as well. You know, they're out there planting flowers and filling potholes and doing those things. Our crossing guards are another resource that we use. With respect to where are the problems and the time and so on. So we will work to better communicate where we are in the process. And assure you to the best of our ability that we will do the right thing for the borough, the right way, for the right reasons. And that's for the good of all of us, because we all care, and you elected us to take care of the borough and to have good governance, and that's what we're trying to do. So if you bear with us while we gather all, and do, we're going to act, that we're going to respond in a way that uses our staff and everyone's time to the efficiently. Yes, Mr. Berry.
Briefly, I just want to add to what you just said, Madam President. Under the Pennsylvania Motor Vehicle Code, it is required that we have a traffic study to promulgate certain regulations involving speeding and the like. One of those, for instance, is if you want a speed limit not in a school zone to be 15 miles an hour, you need to do a traffic study. Now, we have already done that on Maple Avenue. That's my recollection. I remember doing that. So we've already done a traffic study, and the speed limit on Maple Avenue is 15 miles an hour, not just at the school zone, but the whole way up the street. That's my recollection of what we did about 8 to 10 years ago. So that, again, by example, is one of the areas that we need to do a traffic study and get data in order to be able to promulgate a regulation that is legally enforceable. The other thing is speed bumps. We definitely need to have a traffic study, and there are speed bumps that are not legal, and you have to do it. I've already sort of looked at that issue. We had an issue with it, so I took a look at it. I'll be glad to take a closer look at it, let me put it that way. But I know, for instance, that you cannot install speed bumps without a traffic study. I know that, and I also know that there are certain types of speed bumps that are not legal at all. So you have to be a little careful there. But I'll give you the information. You could certainly get those regulations on the internet. But you know, if you need any information, I'll be glad to get it.
Thank you, Mr. Berry. And the Local Government Academy has. Those of us who have gone to the Local Government Academy have a basic understanding, if you will, of you know, what can and can't be done. And times change, I know that, you know, and what was done 8, 10 years ago doesn't, you know, the patterns change. And that's what I want to assure folks, that we're going to do things the right way so that things are enforceable. It doesn't do any good not to have something that's going to hold up.
Just what is the timeline on this? I appreciate it. You've convinced me of the need for data. I'm not entirely convinced of the process, but you've convinced me. You guys know your job better than I do, and I don't want to over.
We're trying. Yeah.
Yeah. What is the time frame on this?
Well, right now on the.
Right now the
concern has been expressed. Okay, so you've all been emailing each other, and you know, and now we're adamantly aware of what the concern.
You were told this is the fourth time you've had this conversation this year. I was told that.
Not on Maple, not in front of council. No, we've had different streets.
So every street has to come in individually.
No.
What I'm saying was four times. It was brought up once in council by Greendale.
With respect for question, is how much longer until?
I'll take care of it. Okay, you want to know how much longer? What's the process? What there's on the agenda right now is a motion to purchase this equipment.
Okay, so like, are we talking? I guess this is my question, because I'm actually really deeply supportive of process in a really nerdy way. Mm-hmm. So if it's how long does a study last before we could hope to have an interpretation of data to then interpret what our response will be as a responsible community? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do understand what you're saying. And that's why we're going to have a committee of the whole meeting at the end of this month, because we need to talk this out ourselves. and come up with those kind of time frames. But the first part, the part that the mayor has heard and the chief of police have heard are with the yellow lines and the fire hydrants and not stopping at stop signs and school buses. I mean, those are things right now that when you talk about common sense and you know, and looking at, we can look at that. And the mayor will, and public safety will address those things. Just jump right
okay.
in.
If we move forward with purchasing this sign, we can have it in about 3 weeks. It would be up and operational on the streets in about 3 weeks. When traffic engineers do a traffic study, they do 2 or 3 days of study, 24 hours on that street. So we would have a few streets, I think, that we'd want to get through. But after 2 or 3 days, we should have, provided the weather's good and schools aren't closed, those sorts of things we'll look for. We would have preliminary data count information. By the end of the month, council would like to meet to discuss traffic calming in a committee of the whole. That'll be advertised on our website, on our email blast, so you can take a look at that. At that point, it would be decided whether we need to hire a traffic engineer to do a more complete study. That would depend a lot on their scheduling and their timing for when we can get them out to look at that and if we need to move forward with a traffic study. Again, traffic studies are 2 to 3 days when it's done that way. It would take them a while to process the data, the information, and bring that back to council. At that point, there would be recommendations, what calming device they think might be best. So that's maybe a little more on a,
totally
on a timeline.
It sounded like it could have been anywhere from 3 weeks to 6 years to me, to be honest.
But yeah, it's not going to be 6 years, but, you know.
No, we.
I mean,
we
are, nothing works fast in government, but we're not that slow.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
What would be the method of communication back to us, the residents, that, because I think that's the most important.
Well, council meets the first and third Monday of every month at 7:30. You're all more than welcome, as you should. These are open public meetings. We post our minutes.
Something you can post on the website or something?
We post our minutes on the website, and we will also continue to update residents with respect to where we are in our process on the website.
You can even the newsletter or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, we may do an article, we may do an article about this and outline the process. As I say, you know, I have the bones here. We're going to flesh it out, you know, at the committee of the whole.
I would just like to share also is because the school year is coming to an end, and when you're doing these studies, even with this data collection process, I think it's good that if you are going to purchase it, do it before the school year's out, because seasonal traffic is different also.
And that's part of the PennDOT recommendations that we would be required to follow, is that you have to do studies when school is in session and people are in their normal behaviors. I would say also to sign up for the borough's email blasts, so that way when we have special meetings, you'll get an email about it to help make you
aware. Yeah, I mean,
we
post things on the marquee out in the front and, you know, whatever, but if you're on the email thing, you know, it comes out that way. So this is where we are. The other nice thing about having something that's portable as opposed to the big thing, you know, that Paul Costa gets us, the trailer or whatever, is it just because it's been on your street once doesn't mean that it won't be there a couple of times. Just once again, what we want to do is change people's behavior. And it does make a difference when you see, because you don't think you're going that fast until you see those numbers. I mean, you know, when you're going down South Braddock Avenue, you don't think you're going that fast till all of a sudden the lights are flashing. You're like, oh, yeah, I really am going faster than 25 miles an hour. Yes? Right.
They are astonishingly efficient.
Okay. Can I just ask? We've answered your questions. If you want to talk amongst yourselves, that's wonderful. We would really like, now, unless someone else has anything else that you would like to share, we would like to continue on now with local government business, and you're all more than welcome to come and to stay and to learn about MS4 training. during wet weather issues that, and actually hear about what we have to know with respect to our wet weather issues, Mr. Stanton.
Yes. We have to share that.
I thank you very much.
With the residents. Is it that condescending, but I mean, this is, I think we're trying to be proactive, and I know this is not a debate, but it's really for a modicum of magnitude. I also don't want our police officers to be treated as catastrophic. Nothing more important than that, and a solution that's permanent and non-
Mr. Donahue, you can, you're more than welcome to come back for the next meeting.
I am thrilled. Good to see you.
Thank you. All right. Mr. Stanton, does anyone else have anything that they want to present to council? Okay. Mr. Stanton, would you want to teach us about M4 training?
MS4s. I apologize in advance. I'm going to use a lot of acronyms.
It's the sewer system.
It's and the presentation itself is an acronym. Edgewood Borough, like all the other urbanized municipalities in Greater Pittsburgh, Greater Philadelphia, Greater Erie, have a permit that relates to the Municipal Separate Storm Sewer System, MS4. Okay? The state issues the permit. And it's not only in a Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, it's a national permit. There's some extras being circulated. Permitting requirements in the state of Pennsylvania started in 2008. Okay. We're in the second permit cycle. And this permit cycle started in 2013. What that permit allows Edgewood Borough to do is discharge stormwater collected in our inlets, in our roadway inlets, driveway drains, convey through the storm sewer system and discharge to Nine Mile Run. In the past, prior to 2008, everyone discharged to their streams and no one had a permit. Today's world, you have a permit for everything, including discharge of stormwater. I'm not going to recite every line in this 20-page PowerPoint, but what I will say is that you're going to see me every year giving the same one. It's a requirement of the law that during a public meeting, with residents and the general public in attendance.
So thank you for being here.
I'm going to make this presentation. And when the our friends from the state audit Edgewood Borough, as they're now starting to do, we're going to have the sign-in sheet that's being routed around and this presentation and the minutes from this summary in a binder that will document that Edgewood Borough Council went through this meeting and members of the general public. So now we have a permit. Now what? Now what do we do? I'm going to describe two acronyms. Within the permit itself, the borough is required to adopt and maintain 6 minimum control measures. MCMs. We'll go over those in a lot of detail. Within the MCMs, there's another acronym called Best Management Practice, which is it can be something tangible, meaning street sweeping, meaning litter pickup. Earth Day is a great public outreach activity that we're going to document and put in a binder, April 23rd, and have a few pictures. Our friends at DEP, as well as programs, educational programs, less tangible than litter pickup or other things. That's also a best management practice. So the 6 MCMs, I'm on the third page, and this is probably, I'm going to touch on everything from this one slide.
What are the MCMs? First one is public education and outreach on stormwater impacts. Every time it rains, runoff goes through our lawns, goes through our driveways, goes down through our storm sewer system, and ultimately end up in Nine Mile Rock. There's, in terms of fertilizers that we use in our yards, in terms of the icing agents that we use on our roadways, all of that gets flushed to our streams. And if we were on the eastern half of the state, we'd be not nearly as lucky because the Philadelphia area, they're in a Chesapeake Bay watershed. The nutrient discharges in the Chesapeake Bay watershed associated with the algae blooms are very significant and very expensive for those residents and taxpayers. Being on the western side of the state, our storm water eventually hits the Gulf of Mexico through the Mississippi River and the Ohio River, to which is formed out of point. At some point in time, those sediment and those nutrient regulations are going to hit western Pennsylvania. They're not here now. By most part, some of our municipalities in the South Hills and the Sawmill Run watershed do have a total maximum daily load where they have to put together a plan on how they're going to eliminate nutrients, meaning fertilizers, to get in their storm sewer system by 2046. No such requirements currently in Nine Mile Run. How long that lasts, we don't know. But those are the stormwater impacts I'm referring to on control measure number one. In the old days, you washed your car, ran down the side of the street, that's where it should go. We don't want that soapy water getting into our sanitary lines. Today's world, it should go to the sanitary sewer. That soap, that water, those detergents, those superfectants, they all wash down our storm sewer system, pollute our streams, and are one of the parts of the permit future generations are going to have to deal with.
If I could please, Councilor, Jason, is there any detergent that we can use? I mean, I know it seems silly, and it's a real pain to wash the trucks on the side of the garage, which we've been doing to stay in compliance.
Yes.
If you could provide me a list of soaps that we can use, that would be
sure.
Absolutely
sure.
Great.
Sure. There's detergents and different things that are less in the nutrient side of things, less phosphorus, different things like that that are more sensitive to the environment. We'll be certainly to provide that. So MCM number one is the public education outreach. What we're doing tonight is one of the measures of MCM number one. MCM number two, public involvement, participation, the foundation, litter pickup. That's a great activity. Working with our garden club, Rotary, Lions, anywhere that
the
we
scouts can, with the little plaque in front of all the storm sewers with the fish.
When it rains, it rains. Minimum control measure number three is illicit discharge detection elimination. That's kind of our bucket, if you will. The borough has an intricate storm sewer system. You probably don't realize that 75% of it goes to the Nine Mile Run culvert that no one's ever seen.
Except you, Jason.
Except me.
Jack's been there.
I've played it in. Bottom line is, mouth of the culvert and down near the parkway discharges what was once a stream that the headwaters are way up in Wilkinsburg. Flows through Edgewood and discharges and gets down to the Nine Mile Run through Frick Park. It is much better in terms of water quality than it's ever been. And I think a lot of that has to do with the MS4 regulations. The entire borough storm sewer systems map, the majority requirements of MCM number 3 is 48 hours after a rain event, okay? If there's residual flow coming in that pipe, we pull a sample from that pipe and send it to the lab to identify if there's any bacteria, E. coli, fecal coliform, detergents, superfectants, things like that. Typically, 48 hours after a storm, Edgewood storm sewer systems dry. So we have that going for us that there's not a lot of illicit discharges under MCM number 3. So all that documentation exists. We populate the borough's binder system as well as our binder system. Sure, friends, if you peek them out and do an audit. Items number 4 and 5, under control measures 4 and 5, are kind of together. One relates to construction site stormwater runoff. You've seen the construction with the school for the deaf or any roadside construction. You know those silly looking worms at the side of the road that are orange socks? That's a silt sock. That's a best management practice designed to preclude stormwater runoff to get into our local waterways. Okay. So next time you're passing through there and see the crazy little worms, that's actually a best management practice under MCM number 4.
Cool.
Item number 5 relates to after the school for the deaf or after construction is over, they'll either have a stormwater retention pond. In the case of the school for the deaf, they have an infiltration basin, meaning that their roof water coming off of the roofs goes into an infiltration basin where it slowly percolates into the ground. Okay? In accordance with today's stormwater criteria that all the municipalities in the state have to follow. So that's an example of MCM number 5. MCM number 6, which is pollution prevention, good housekeeping, that relates to borough facilities, in-house facilities, meaning how our public works changes oil. Do they dump it into a storm sewer? Do they recycle it? Yearly catch basin inspections and cleaning, making sure that, you know, there's no litter, there's no debris, no collapses in our storm sewer system that would cause flooding, different things like that. So that, in essence, is an overview of the MS4 program. Borough managers certainly involved in that, expanding upon the written plan in terms of public education and outreach. We work together on the illicit discharge detection elimination. 4 and 5 are less active in Edgewood than in some municipalities. And item number 5, we share the responsibility to train our public works members so that we're not changing oil, dumping it down the storm sewer system, cleaning our vehicles the best we can in-house, or utilizing soap that's less harmful to the environment. Whatever measures that we take, it's important that we document all those, keep it in the binder system, and like I said, when the state comes out to audit us, we'll be prepared to address their questions. So, in overview, that's the MS4 system and MS4 climate program.
So, Jason, I just have a question because I've heard it mentioned a few times in at least the last 2 years about taxation for impenetrable surfaces on property.
Yes.
So where's that?
Well, I know that there's a number of competing bills at the state level allowing boroughs to essentially charge fees based on impervious areas. There's also sister bills that will allow first and second charge the same fees. A couple of municipalities do have those fees in existence, and a reference to my Lebanon case, because they're home rule, kind of excluded from the borough code. relatively small tax, if you will, enable that municipality to generate revenue and address specific storm sewer issues. So in terms of borough code, I see one day that it'll probably pass, I would think.
If we wanted to do it right now, we would have to create a stormwater authority.
That's correct. Then the authority would have the ability to levy a tax.
The reason I ask is the only way, I mean, you talk about local governments is where things start. I mean, it's not going to make a change until the people who actually take control of their stormwater makes a change. And it's really hard to do that as a borough. I mean, we can do whatever we want, but as long as people still keep dumping it down the downstream, so to speak, it's really difficult to control that. So.
Yeah, and I think that's part of...
Not that I want... Believe me,
I
have a lot of impervious surface. I don't want a tax, but I'm just saying we need to somehow get it back to understanding.
Part of the regulation that goes along with the discussion we're having tonight, the public outreach programs is changing the behavioral attitudes of the residents, and we had this discussion tonight. You'd be surprised how much more people know today about stormwater than they did 10 years ago.
I looked at, Julie sent me the requirements for the street sweeping test to be done, and they are obnoxious.
Yes. The three rivers.
The problem is, how do you sample something like that and make sure you get a representable sample?
That's a good point.
It's impossible.
It is, and there's a lot of judgment involved. And one good thing, I guess, at this juncture is we don't have to do it in Edgewood. Okay. In terms of quantifying the amount of pollutants that we're removing from our streams and removing.
Right, not from our streams. I think Mr. Fuller was talking about if we get a dumpster for our street sweepings and catch basins cleanouts, getting that tested before we can put it in the landfill.
Correct.
As a hazardous waste, how do they justify calling that a hazardous waste?
That's a good question.
You know, it drives me a little crazy, because if you just allow that to flush into the storm sewers, it's not a hazardous waste. But if you collect it, it is.
Yeah. It's
not justifiable. That's part of the problem.
I certainly see the point. And I guess it would depend what's all commingled within the dumpster. So that's a good question.
Dump it in the culvert.
Dump it in the culvert.
A lot of times in municipalities where they clean out the storm sewer systems, okay, they're also cleaning out other things. Separate. So,
but the same would apply to anything picked up by the street sweeper. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it's in the street and it gets flushed to the sewer, it's not hazardous. But if you collect it, it is. And that's just incompatible.
We're still looking for a landfill that will let us, will take the street sweepings without requiring as much testing.
But any
so far, nobody's been helpful.
Testing at all is ridiculous. I mean,
Let it fester for a couple of weeks and get a real good.
Who's the testing agency on this?
We would have to contract with somebody.
We'd have to use a certified lab.
Yeah, right now, since we have Republic for our residential, we got a quote from Republic. Republic does not own their own landfill, so I think that they have a few more requirements than if we had a servicer that owned their own landfill.
But even still, some of the things they were asking for were ridiculous.
I agree with you.
And as a borough, just for education out there, I think it was like $5,000 a year more that we're going to be paying for this test for about on average.
For the testing? Yeah. I mean, it depends on how quickly we would fill a dumpster, because I believe each and every dumpster would need tested. So it's a lot of money. This is a very large unfunded mandate.
I propose sweeping the streets once a week instead of twice.
Yes. Yeah, Mr. Barry.
Quickly, you already talked briefly about MCM number 3.
Yeah.
I read this and we're required to screen the outfalls.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that. I didn't hear that. If you will, it seems to me that that's an issue that we need to be proactive on, and certainly we need your help on.
Yes.
And just talk about that briefly.
During each year of the five-year permit cycle, Edgewood Borough has about 250 outfalls, meaning from the catch basins it discharges to 9 Mile Run. Where it discharges to 9 Mile Run is one outfall. So 20% of the borough system has to be inspected every 5 years. What does that inspection entail? At a minimum, 48 hours.
The whole 100% every 5 years, correct?
The whole 100%.
20% a year. Yeah.
Every 5 years. So it's 20% per year. That's correct. Okay. So at that outfall, what that inspection entails, 48 hours after a storm event, if there's residual water coming out, okay, keep in mind for 2 days it's been dry. If there's residual water, we'll pull a sample. We'll do field tests on detergents, surfactants, temperature, pH, and then, you know, seal that sample, take it to a lab, and evaluate if there's any, you know, bacteria in that sample. So that's generally what constitutes an inspection of that outfall.
We have been doing those inspections. Lennon Smith does that for us every year. We get reports. What Jason was referring to is that I think we've been lucky that we have not had any contaminants in what's been tested thus far, so we haven't had to go to the next phase.
Right. The next phase would be if there is, say that there's an issue with one of the outfalls where you have to televise back, trace back the source of that outfall. Maybe there's a cross connection in the storm and sanitary piping. Could happen. You got to trace that back to the source, and then, you know, require them to repair what needs to be repaired.
Maybe an animal crawled up it and died. You don't know.
When you say that though, when you say bacteria, you're just specifically talking about E. coli.
Yes.
Because that's a little bacteria is abroad.
Yes. Okay. That's correct.
Bad bacteria.
So if 48 hours after a storm, if the outfall is dry, you take a picture of it, document it where you are, mapping wise, put that picture in a file, and that's
the inspection. That's our report. That's the inspection.
So we should take kitty litter up the pipe a little bit.
Yeah, I imagine you're going to get some nutrients from it. Yeah. So that's an overview of the boroughs in this four program. The EP has audited some municipalities in 2015. Only a few, I'd say a handful, maybe 12 or 15. Our clients were targeted in 6 of them, but no one is fined and no one's gone to jail yet. I'm kidding. The findings weren't major. They were basically expounded upon a written program. Reach out to a larger, broader audience, different things like that. Some of the audits have started this year. The state tells us that the entire greater Pittsburgh area is going to be completely audited by 2018. That's pretty ambitious. I don't think that'll happen. I don't think the state has enough resources to do that. But irrespective, we're going to be ready.
One last question. I'm sorry.
Sure.
If we get the special, if we get the phosphate, I know this sounds silly, but if we get the phosphate soaked in the turbines and use on the trucks, we can
might mean is we maybe have to buy something to block this, the storm sewers that you would then be required to clean. So put in the storm sewer before you wash the truck. Clean it out inside into the sanitary sewer after you wash the truck. Even with phosphate-free soaps, we shouldn't be washing inside. We should not be discharging even if it's phosphate-free.
It's
from the government.
I don't want to be a preclusionist or whatever, but there are ways of doing it outside that is a convenient. I know it's difficult to do inside in tight spaces. You just got to do it the right way. And that's where the guidance comes in. Kind of changing the habits of how we used to do things.
But it seems to me that they have gone a little overboard. You know, when you as a borough can pass an ordinance that says you can't wash your car in your driveway or on the street, to me that's an invasion.
It always swings a little farther in one direction, then comes back. Hopefully it will.
But at the same time, you know, people don't know this stuff either. You know, people generally do not know that you are so limited by these laws. You know, the impact of what they're doing, and it's just going to get worse too.
Well, when you start being taxed, then people will listen. That's not going to happen.
Well, and it's also, you know, the street sweeping has been something that, you know, people appreciate in the borough, and they don't know, you know, really what's behind it once it's swept up. You know, that it has to be tested and, you know, no landfill wants it, and that's $5,000 more out of the budget. And, you know, I mean, it, you know, you start having to limit services based on, you know, the financial impact. You know, it's
smaller borough can't possibly shoulder this.
No.
Without going bankrupt. Or cutting their police department, or just saying, right, we can't do X, Y, or Z.
No, we're not going to do it anymore, you know. And then people wonder, you know, that the borough's going to hell in a handbasket. Well,
you'd be very surprised how many municipalities don't street sweep.
Yeah. Well, we know why.
Or get rid of on-site fueling, because the requirements to have it are insane.
Yeah.
And Jason, these laws are in front of the state, I guess. Are they DEP initiated?
No, they were actually initiated at the local government level. A lot of Pennsylvania State Association of Boroughs, PSAPs, was...
You mean the taxation laws?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would allow...
Yeah, the fee, to be able to tax. Yeah, yeah.
Based on some uniform...
But this whole MS4 and what's able to go, that's under the Clean Water Act with the
EPA.
That's
under the Clean Water Act. Clean Water Act, correct.
Right.
And that act was established in 72, so it's taken a while. This is actually part of the Phase 2 NPDES program. Phase 1 NPDES program started in 1972. If you can believe, prior to that, the federal government didn't have a way for sewage treatment plants to have a permit. The state water board, they controlled everything prior to 72, and lo and behold, the Clean Water Act came in, and all the treatment plants had to establish their
And so permit. So the first part of our consent order was the sanitary sewers and televising those and having a maintenance plan for our sanitary sewers. This is the second round of the consent orders. Will now also include the storm sewers.
Well, the second round of the consent order that we're currently under now is
sanitary.
Still sanitary.
Right.
This is completely separate from that. This relates to storm sewer discharges.
This is another.
It is another mandate.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And there will be fines and penalties if we don't comply.
Yes.
So it's the same venue.
Yeah.
Is there a consent order for this stuff?
Yeah, I was going to say, doesn't our consent order, I'm sorry, that's a question for Tim, but that just certainly makes sense that what the consent order for the borough that are now certainly would trump the legislation because it's
apples and oranges, storm and
apples
sewer.
And oranges.
Yep. Storm and sewer are two separate systems that we have two separate plans for, two separate maintenance for.
My question, just to clarify that, is, I'm certainly aware that we're under a consent order for our sanitary sewer systems. My understanding is that what you're talking about here, the stormwater management and keeping our stormwater clean, is the law both federal and state, but yeah. We're not necessarily under consent order. It's just what the law is.
Correct.
That's right.
I'm just pointing that out.
Yes. And basically, in 2003, DEP said, okay, you discharge stormwater. We all know that. All your neighbors discharge stormwater. We're going to issue a permit to you to discharge stormwater, but you also have to comply with these other regulations. And the flip side of that coin was, and if you don't apply for a general permit, we know who you are, type of thing. And all the municipalities, they acknowledged that, we do discharge storm water, and none of us have a permit. So initially, what was a general permit, the permit regulation, getting a little bit more stringent, but at this point, unless you have an illicit discharge that you have to chase down, there's really no requirement to treat stormwater.
But if we aren't compliant with these regulations, we can be fined.
Yes.
Yeah. Is there an opportunity for you, as our representative, perhaps in conjunction with other municipalities, to voice the concerns that George had about the street sweeping and perhaps other concerns and give them back to the regulators and say, okay, fine, we want to comply with this, we want to keep our stormwater clean, but does it make common sense then? We need to also have common sense.
Sure, absolutely.
And they'll be so receptive to that one.
I think that's also why it's important we follow every single FCM that we can, because obviously right now we can't take care of the street sweepings the way that they would like us to. So that's why it's important we do all of the education, the outreach, the trainings to our staff and to our council so that we can say, here's everything we did right. Here's where we're still struggling. Help us meet this requirement. But as long as we have shown we've made an effort, we're working on this, we're devoting resources and time to this.
And we've been consistent
about
that.
We have.
And who would be fined?
The borough.
The borough.
You personally.
Yeah, Jack Bryson. No, the borough will. And, that was one of the pluses with the consent decree is there were no upfront penalties.
That's correct.
And that was why there were all the negotiations and the intermunicipal cooperation. But with stormwater, it's every person, every borough for themselves, basically.
Correct. They're the permittee. And frankly, one of the things that, if you read some of the horror stories in eastern Pennsylvania, a lot of those horror stories in municipalities got fined because they thumbed their nose at the regulations.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything. So
we don't do that.
And Jason, last year when you were here, if I recall, there was a municipality where individuals on the council was fined.
Sorry?
There were individuals on council that were fined last year when you were here, right? Or at least threatened to be fined. No? Okay.
Yeah, there was someone who was held.
There was somebody out east that Bob Beard was here last year.
Yeah.
And the individual council members were charged with.
I wasn't really joking.
Yeah. Okay. they didn't follow the regs.
Saying that people
tells that story.
Yeah, we got it. We got the regulations. We're compliant.
So it looks like they want to eliminate fertilizing grass and gardens. That's the way it looks.
Well,
California.
In certain watersheds have a TMDL.
TMVL.
TMDL, which is another acronym for total maximum daily load, which is essentially the measure of pollution a stream can support before it starts killing fish. 1998, federal EPA and their consultant from San Francisco did a sampling program on Sawmill Run. Developed the TMDL and drafted the TMDL, and the municipality band together with Alcosan and every county agency that could pen a long list of poison pen letters that says you're crazy, don't do this. And the EPA said, here's your TMDL, submit a plan by 2018 to push it in compliance by 2056. That's one area of the Pittsburgh area that's dealing with that. And basically, that TMDL says that over time you can cut back on the fertilizing. You don't have to cease in 2016. You know, no one's precluded from fertilizing their yard. It's you know, as time goes on, and as fertilizer products change, different things like that, the municipalities may have to put BMPs in their storm sewer system that filters that fertilizer out before it goes to the storm sewer system.
Which
because
is why
your lawns do not need all the nitrogen and other things that they're telling
day.
You. And
day.
All
we
that
check.
The leaf stuff can be mulched and used as compost and top. I mean, they're solutions.
Yes,
I agree with, I hear what you're saying. But it's just a matter of behavior getting changed.
It's changing behavior.
There's economic practices, and then there's best available practices.
Understood.
The problem is, what they're looking at is not compatible with what most people do. They are not considering this from a consumer standpoint. They are not considering this from anybody's standpoint except for regulators. And that's part of the problem.
Not totally true. When I think in terms of my great-grandchildren being able to go over to Nine Mile Run and not worry about what they're swallowing when they're horsing around in there, that pleases me. So, I mean, right now, I didn't like it all when my kids went over there. But my great-grandchildren, maybe it's going to be clean by then. So, I mean, there is a price that gets paid in the long run, and we pay... We're fools for spending money on what Home Depot and Lowe's sells us in order to have a lawn that's green, that can be green anyway. I still agree with you totally about the leaves. Stealing all those leaves that people bag, and I even go out to the street and rake them on locusts and bag them and take them up to my garden.
We have pictures.
Yeah. So I'm sitting here thinking, no, they're telling me that's hazardous material.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to have my soil tested to prove that no, it isn't.
It was some years ago.
I'll tell you what, though. If you leach all the tannins out of those, they probably would be classified as hazardous, which is absolutely stupid because it's a natural chemical.
Understood. And when it's mixed with all that other stuff, you know, the lead from paint and everything else, it gets encapsulated. I mean, there's just all kind of good stuff that actually does also occur. But I agree that the message still has to go that... As you're saying, it's not the consumer is being ignored.
And that's why we try the education outreach first. So if you are fertilizing your lawn, maybe clean out your spreader inside in your garage drain. Don't do it out on the street. Those are the smaller steps we can try to take to eliminate the illicit discharges.
Yeah. Well, there's one problem. The majority of the people in Hedgewood don't have garages. Or if they do
or
have
or in your backyard where it will discharge to grass instead of out to the hard surface.
There are ways.
You can't drive a car into the backyard.
There are ways that we can help people and ourselves adjust so that we can become compliant. Is there anything else? Does anyone have any other questions regarding these?
Always enjoy.
Well, I'll make one comment. It used to be illegal in Edgewood to rake leaves into the street. So we're just going to go back to the way we were doing things 20 years ago, when it was illegal to put leaves in the street. And Edgewood used to fine people who did it. So we just have to do a reversal, obviously. Leaves are pretty bulky.
Coming to a composter near you.
Yes.
So there are any other questions about the municipal separate storm sewer system and what we need to do to be compliant?
Yeah, well,
Jason, thank you very much for this.
You have a question about
information?
Jason, we have a question on an unrelated engineering matter. Would you mind?
On the bids?
Yes.
A lot of work, I know. Maple Avenue is also on the list to get a faster blacktop like it needs it. But there's two of the companies got thrown out. I'm just curious, specs or something?
They had additions in their arithmetic. As part of the bidding documents, their unit price contracts, meaning the wearing course, the final wearing course is on a per square yard basis. So if they bid $10 per yard, I'll just use an example, and do the arithmetic incorrect to get their total price for the line item, the unit price covers. Mm-hmm. So if they did the arithmetic wrong,
Saturday,
this unit price, whatever they bid the unit price, the total price for that line item doesn't matter. It's the unit price. A lot of times, contractors will make mistakes when they add up their bids, different things like that. In terms of the road program, the unit prices were very competitive. They're very low. And a matter of fact, if you look at the base bid, the low bidder is Mealy and
yes.
Mealy, okay, like $2,000 or less than 1%. But if you look at alternates A and B, which is just two more streets, the low bidder is Liberoni. So that's how competitive the road is.
Can I ask another question? Would you advise, because the road paving being so dependent on the cost of petroleum, that is this possible to do on a longer term than year to year, since we have a 10-year plan?
We can do more this year because of the
cost?
Not
more this year, but bid it out for extended years, not just this year.
Good, but my guess is the bids are probably be high.
Because they don't know what next year's cost
is. Because they don't know where the oil costs are going to be next March. And they'll probably speculate pretty high.
Is that the trend, or is that history, or is that just a thought?
Generally, when you start bidding road programs, if you start in early March, even at the end of February, bitumen plants aren't giving out prices yet because they don't know where their costs are going to be in terms of oil and manufacturing asphalt. So once you start seeing some bids open first, second week in March, usually you think, man, the early bird's going to get the worm on this one. They're usually higher. The first ones out of the gate bid because the asphalt plants are starting to get their ducks in a row in terms volume of oil that they're going to have. It's, our experience is between mid-March and the end of March, that's the sweet spot in terms of opening bids, in terms of getting the best unit prices. It's cyclical. This year, being that petroleum was lower in the fall and lower in the winter, we thought, man, this could be a really good year in terms of getting good bid prices. But it is good. But it's not as low as we've seen in the past. So but we did do competitive bids.
Their budget.
Yeah, well, that's why I asked.
Yeah.
It's always great to come in under budget.
Any other questions for?
If you're so confident that the price of oil affects the road operating costs, the borough could enter into a hedge. To counteract that.
level.
I didn't want to see Jason's letter April 4th. Until now, I took Mr. Wilson's copy. And I want to follow up on this. Mr. Wilson's question.
Yes, you
it does not appear that the errors that you found in the bidding have any impact on your recommendation as to the lowest responsible bidder. Would that be accurate?
That's correct. The bid tabulation that's attached to that table is presented on the front.
Right. Okay, you guys didn't get the entire bid tab, but I can get that too.
Normally, Jason sends this to me. Probably came in. I didn't get it yet.
The amounts on the front are with the correct arithmetic.
The point is that the errors in math do not have any impact on your recommendation to award the contract to Liberoni. You say that there were errors in Melli and Melli and Felina, but not there was no errors in.
That's right.
Is that correct? That's correct. And secondly, we are definitely going with, I assume because we have enough budgeted that we're going to go with the base bid plus alternate one and two because we're able to cover that. Is that correct?
That's correct. Alternate three and four are Harlow and Garland Street, which would be done in conjunction with the Water Authority. The borough bid those two streets as well as the Water Authority, and they have not yet opened their bids. So whoever gets the lowest price will reimburse the other for half of the cost of those two streets. We are allowed to add up to 25% of the bid onto. We are allowed to add up to 25% to the original contract that we award. So this would still be under that 25%. So we will wait to see if the Water Authority gets a better price than we do. And then we'll award three and four.
Well, I'm going to make this comment quickly and we can move on because I understand what you just said. But, you know, these bids are good for a certain period of time. If we award the base bid and alternate one and two now, I don't see why we couldn't do three and four later. What's the timing of the Water Authority doing this?
They are not exactly sure right now. They're still out.
They
haven't let the contract out for Water Authority.
Yeah, we'll be having the Water Authority report, so.
And
we'll either award it or do it as a change order.
Yeah, got it.
Okay.
I note that our motion on the agenda is wrong because if you read it, in the amount of $228,582.25 for the base bid, alternate number one in the amount of $6,010.80, and then you should cross out alternate number two in the amount of $6,080. Mm. That's a mistake.
I apologize.
No problem. And alternate number two in the amount of $54 would be correct. So you just cross out that second part. That the rest of it is okay. There's no question that Liberoni was lower on the base bid alternate one and alternate two.
Right, anything else for our engineer? Okay, thank you, Mr. Stanton. You're off the clock now. Thank you, Jason, very much for your information and clarification for our streets as well as our storm sewer permit.
And if anyone hears this evening as far as our phase one consent order and agreement, our field environmental staff will be measuring the flows in the sanitary sewers this evening. During about 1 to 5 a.m. in that time frame.
Okay.
Very quietly.
That's good to know. So. Chief, you heard that?
Yes, I did. Okay. We'll pass on.
Yeah. All day.
Does he need the sign in?
Yes, you do.
Mayor, would you please?
He didn't sign.
Huh?
No, he just needs
to.
Why don't you scan this to me?
You want me to do that?
Sure.
Good luck.
Okay. No, authorization to pay bills for goods and services, Mr. Wainwright.
I move to authorize the payment of bills for goods and services received by the borough, having been reviewed and approved by the General Government Committee, from the general fund in the amount of $38,628.45, and from the sewer fund in the amount of $4,172.20, for a total of $42,800.65.
Second.
Any questions or comments?
No unremarkable expenses, pretty light bill month. Everything was pretty routine.
Some real estate refunds.
Real estate tax refunds.
Ms. Bustini, call the roll.
Mr. Bright.
Aye.
Dr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson.
Aye.
Dr. Petrola.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes. Committee action, motion to award 2016 roadway improvement contract, Mr. Wilson.
I move to award contract number 16-R01-2016 roadway improvement program to A. Liberoni Incorporated as low bidder in the amount of $228,582.25 for the base bid. Alternate number one in the amount of $6,010.80, and alternative number two in the amount of $54,769.20, as recommended by the borough engineer Jason Stanton in his letter dated April 4th, 2016, subject to A. Liberoni Incorporated obtaining the required insurance certificates, performance bonds, and payment bond in review approved of the same by the borough solicitor.
Second.
Okay, any further questions or comments regarding the street pavement?
Just that we're going to be about $80,000 under budget. Very happy with the bid results.
I think Liberoni does the water authority too, which means maybe we'll take care of that.
Well, they did last year's work, right?
No.
No.
Last year was Victor paving.
Oh. All right, Ms. Bustini, you call the roll.
Mr. Bright.
Aye.
Dr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson.
Aye.
Dr. Petrola.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes. Motion to purchase Field 12 display, Mr. Fuller.
I move to purchase a Shield 12 speed display from All Traffic Solutions per quote dated March 14, 2016 in the amount of $4,690.
Second.
Questions or comments? Mr. Fuller, do you want to talk about public safety's review and Ms. Bustini, your review?
Well, at the last public safety meeting, we discussed this, and Ms. Bustini and the chief looked into different models and different options.
And the chief and I observed it in the field.
Yeah, I have a question. Typical driver, when they see one of these things, they know what it is. So there's a way to disguise it so people can't see it.
You don't want them to see it.
We want them to see it.
We want them to see it and slow down.
We just
want to
discourage them. Okay.
Just steal it.
It's out there now.
What the goal is.
Okay. Yes, Ms. Bustini, anything else?
I think that's all. We've discussed it. We recommend this model, and we think that it will do a lot to slow down drivers on the borough streets. It's a portable unit, but it also has a good anti-theft unit, anti-tamper unit. And if you try to steal it, it takes your picture, so we know.
Any other questions or comments regarding this motion, Ms. Bustini?
Sorry, we're also going to add it onto the borough's insurance.
Okay.
Just so it's insured.
Thank you. Ms. Bustini, you call the roll.
Mr. Bright. Dr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson.
Aye.
Dr. Petrola.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes. Volunteer Fire Department report, Mr. Reynolds.
We have had about 135 calls for the year. We've had 40 or so, probably more for the month of March. I didn't look at the total numbers. We've had between 3 and 4 structure fires, 2 in Swissvale, 1 in Penn Hills, which I informed council about. We also are going to be participating in sign language training for the next month with the Western Pennsylvania School of the Deaf. Western Pennsylvania School for the Deaf. Our Fire Academy will be ending soon. We'll have 6 new recruits. They'll be taking their first burn session on April 23rd and 24th. And we hopefully will have a new live-in soon. I'll take questions.
Okay. Any questions?
How are you feeling?
Well, my nose.
Look good.
Really? I think I look like Al. There you go. Put them on.
Still
there. It'll leave a mark for a long time.
And Mr. Amos, you have our deep appreciation for your efforts, your heroic efforts during the structure fire. You're very humble, and we thank Mr. Reynolds for informing council.
Give it to him. I mean, he's gonna like play shy, but she's famous with intrepid.
So we're deeply appreciative of your service and your commitment, and that you're here. And we thank heavens for that.
Anything else I can do for y'all?
Does anyone have any other questions, sir? Mr. Reynolds? I think we're good. Thank you for your education.
You get my plastic surgery bill.
He's joking.
He had a lot to
joking,
play with.
She says it was all. All right, recreation report, Ms. Bastianini.
Thank you, Madam President. Applications for T-ball and softball will be available April 15th and are due in the borough offices by May 15th. The leagues play in June and July. We're also busy preparing for summer movies in the park. This year, we think we have some good titles in our series that will generate a lot of interest. We'll begin on June 13th with Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Then we'll follow it up with the Lego Movie and Cars. That's all I have.
And the 14th Ward
baseball. I believe that their applications are already due.
Yeah, they're already
and
they
practicing.
They start on Wednesday.
Yeah.
What was that first movie date?
June 13th.
Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
Thank you, Ms. Bastianini. Water Authority report, Mr. Fuller.
Thank you, Madam President. The Water Authority met last month. They're supposed to approve the contract for Harlow and Garland at the meeting this month, at which time the contractor is generally given the notice to proceed and follow with the idea of how much pavement the streets would be. Interestingly enough, I do believe it's Liberani. GPS and GIS mapping of the system is almost completed, which means they'll finally be able to use computers instead of going up back to the paper maps, and every time there's a little change, they use an eraser and place it on a new line. And really, it's kind of funny because all their trucks have these paper maps, so finally get away from that.
Questions for Mr. Fuller? Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Council of Government report, Mr. Wilson.
Nothing to add. This weekend is ALOM up at Seven Springs, and I'll be there, and also with Julie, take some notes and bring back to the next meeting.
Thank you. For our solicitor, Mr. Berry.
Thank you, Madam President. As previously announced, we will need to have an executive session. There will be no action taken, and I have no supplemental report. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Our manager, Ms. Bustin.
Thank you, Madam President. A reminder that street sweeping will begin this Wednesday, so please move your cars, tell your neighbors to move their cars. Tomorrow, Ms. Schaefer and I will be attending a presentation. Edgewood is receiving a banner community designation from the Allegheny League of Municipalities and the county executive, so we will be reporting back to you with a plaque and pictures, I'm sure, next meeting.
Get a big check.
I wish.
Yeah, I wish we could.
I will also, as Mr. Wilson said, be heading to the ALOM conference in Seven Springs this Friday. I'm happy to represent Edgewood there, so thank you again for sending me. And I will report back. There's some good sessions. I believe that the governor might make an appearance and be speaking this year, so we're happy to hear about that as well. That is all I have.
And we have a state budget.
Executive session.
All right, thank you. New business.
Madam President, I'd like to report that the Planning Commission did not.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed
not
the Planning
a problem.
Commission. I'm so
and
sorry.
The second thing is that April 15th to the 25th, I will be out of the country.
So,
you get
I'm
mayor
acting
if you want to.
15th to 22nd?
Yeah, to the 25th.
25th. you're coming back the 25th. You'll be back the 25th?
I'll be coming back in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, so, okay. I would like to call a committee of the whole meeting for April 25th.
I'm not going to be here.
To review the process for speeding throughout the borough.
I'm not going to be here. I'm not,
what day of the week is that?
That's a Monday.
It's a Monday.
So this will be Monday evening?
It would, yeah, be Monday evening. Our regular committee meeting, you know, would be the 4th. It's not a meeting. It would be a committee of the whole.
Not available that week.
You're not available? All right.
The evening.
I have a committee of the whole.
All right. Well, how about... Let's
see. 20 minutes before?
Justin, you said you're not available.
Sorry.
Oh, how about May 9th?
I'll be here.
May 9th?
And that's a Monday night?
That's a Monday night. They'll be on Mondays. Okay. Same let's have a cow on May 9th. Can we make it 6:30? Does that work for people?
AM or PM?
PM. Like all right, 6:30 p.m. on May 9th, and we'll have a committee of the whole meeting. Anyone else have any business for council? All right, so at this time, we're going to enter into an executive session to discuss potential litigation. There will be no formal action following executive session to report. Thank you all very much for being here.
Thank
truly.
You.